One of these days, I'm going to get that theme music, and I use that term loosely. I'm going to get that theme music taken care of. I have a friend, matter of fact, a young man that, well, he's not a young man anymore, a gentleman that I sang with in the Army, and he writes music and plays on a guitar and sings. He has a beautiful voice. I'm going to convince him one of these days that he needs to do a 30-second theme song for me. That thing drives me crazy. And my show theme for tomorrow, Swap Shop, drives a lot of people crazy. I kind of like it, but if Charlie, if you're listening right now, I'm sorry, but we're going to play it until it dies. All right. You're listening to Glenn Coble. I'm on A Progressive Life here, and we're going to have a guest come on here in a couple of minutes, Mike Larson. Mike Larson is running for office. He's in the Democratic primary right now. He's running against Shannon Freeshauer and also against Greg Seitz. And I'm going to have Greg Seitz on next week during this show, but I'm waiting for Shannon to give me a call. She said she would eventually come on, but we haven't had her on yet. It's up to her, though. I'm not going to force anybody to come on my show, but I think you'll be interested in listening to some of the things that Mike Larson has to talk about today. Hey, if you're interested in contacting Mike, his tweet line is at Mike Larson Ohio, and Larson is spelled LARSEN, so it's at Mike Larson Ohio, or OH, Mike Larson OH, and he capitalizes Mike and Larson and the OH. Also, if you want to get in touch with him on Facebook, it's facebook.com/ Larson for Congress, and Larson again is spelled LARSEN, and he'll be on here in a couple of minutes, and we'll talk about where he's going right now. It's getting a little close, but we have adjusted. I was glad to see that the governor has decided not to wait until late into May to get the ballots counted, but I think we'll ask Mike. I'm not exactly sure. I think you have to have your mail-in ballots done by the 25th or something like that. The election, the last day is the 28th, and that'll be the last day of the primary. Then we go until, what is it, November 2nd, something like that, for the election. And Mike and Shannon and Greg are running, will be running to have the spot that will go against Jim Jordan, the congressman, the gentleman that wears no jacket, no matter where he is, it doesn't seem like. I don't think maybe I've seen him once in a jacket, but he apparently is opposed to jackets. I prefer not to wear a jacket if I don't have to, but sometimes you just need to dress up a little bit. Casual is not something I would do if I were in Congress or in Washington, D.C. as a politician. I would be pretty formal. I'd also try to use my head, which is something that many of our congressmen and senators have not done, having kind of given over their vote to the executive office. That's something we'll talk about sometime. Do you think that the president should be stronger than the Congress? Should he have more say-so than the senators or the congressmen? It's something that I don't think our founding fathers really agreed with. I think they thought of them as equals, not as one over the other. Even though there are a lot more people involved in the Congress than there are in the executive office. All right, it looks like Mike's calling in. Mike, we've got you on the air. Can you hear me?
I can.
All right.
Ben, how are you?
I'm good. And we're on the air here on WWGH with Mike Larson. And, Mike, I've given your tweet address, and I've also given your Facebook address. Do you have any place else you'd like to tell people that they can get to you? I bet you wouldn't mind taking a dollar or two.
Oh, no, that wouldn't hurt at all. In fact, right now is probably the most efficient time to donate because we don't even have time to spend it on crap. It's all going to digital advertising and really going to just remind people that they can still vote. There's a lot of confusion out there.
Yeah, why don't you... Now, I heard that you had
to
have...
Well, let me just quickly just say our website is ohiomike2020.com, and there people can donate, volunteer, whatever.
Say that again. I stepped on you. What was it? Ohio?
Okay.
Go ahead.
ohiomike2020.com.
All right, and that's your website.
Yes, and there they can click and find whatever else. So.
Excellent. Now, I know, and I've been... on your show, not on it, but I've turned it on several nights. You're on many nights of the week.
I try to do every night, and you were on it. You were one of my first guests.
Yes, that's right. I was. Matter of fact, I may have been your first guest.
You may have been, yeah.
And I turn it on. Now, I hope I don't offend you because I come on, I listen for a while, and if my wife's telling me I've got to go do something, I get off. But what's that?
That platform, Facebook Live. Relatively few people watch it as it's going out live, but then it's saved to the page, and so people come back, later and watch. Especially for some of the guests, I've had some really interesting guests.
You had a baseball player on there, didn't you?
A former NFL player.
NFL, that's it, yeah.
Chris Cluey, who is a... If you can, check out those interviews. Chris was a punter in the NFL for 8 years, broke all sorts of records. He was with the Minnesota Vikings. And then he defended gay marriage by writing that he's a very funny guy, wrote a very funny open letter directed at people who didn't support gay marriage.
I listened to that show for about 25 minutes. He was good.
He's brilliant. And so he actually got cut from the NFL because of that, and he sued the league, sued the team, rather, and had a really good, really big settlement. And, in fact, his suit then set the kind of standard for what Colin Kaepernick has been charging them with, that... These owners who let politics get in the way of assessing whether or not a player can play.
I'm a little confused. Was he let go because he was gay or because he was speaking for gayness?
Because he spoke out. So there was a football player for the Baltimore Ravens who spoke out against a ballot proposition in Maryland that would have outlawed gay marriage. Uh-huh. And some state representative, a guy named Emmett Burns in Maryland, wrote a letter to the owner of the Baltimore Ravens and said, you have to tell your players to shut up about politics.
Oh, my.
And so, rightly so, that ticked Chris off. He's like, hey, this has like a master's in political science. He's like, just because I kick a football doesn't mean
I'm stupid.
I'm not an American.
Yeah.
So he then challenged them, and so then the owner of the Minnesota Vikings sent the kicker's coach to talk to Chris and said, hey, we understand how you feel, but tone it down. And Chris said, no, not only am I not going to tone it down, he went on Deadspin and told everyone the Minnesota Vikings are telling me I can't have a political opinion.
Wow.
So, he's just an incredible guy. I met him shortly after that. I actually reached out to him as my role as a television producer, and we started talking about if there was something we could do, some sort of show, and we never figured out exactly what that was, but we've been friends ever since.
Cool. Well, I really enjoyed that, but that's kind of why I ran for office for state legislator, because I just got so tired of the ignorance of so many of our state legislators. It hasn't gotten a lot better, but...
Well, yeah, and especially when they try to pretend that somehow Christianity justifies their opinions when there has been homosexuality since cavemen, and Jesus never brought it up.
Yeah.
Clearly, he thought there were more important things that we should be dealing with.
Yeah, he went close with Leviticus.
Right. No, that's it. They usually have to go back to, like, 2000 B.C. to find someone who actually said something. Yeah.
And even then, it's kind of vague. And I've read it a couple of times because I got questions like that when I was running for office. And I've read all the passages that supposedly condemn gayness. But also, right next to those passages are passages that say things like, if you wear two different types of cloth, you should be stoned to death.
Right, or if you eat shellfish.
Come on! Yes.
Yeah, or disobedient children should be stoned.
Yes!
None of us would be alive if those rules were in effect.
Oh my, it's pretty crazy. Well, I know I gotta let you go a little early today. You're doing another show?
I'm doing the Marysville High School Young Democrats are actually doing a virtual debate for us at 1 o'clock. So that sounds like fun. And
is it all three of the people that are running?
I believe it's just two of us.
Okay.
I think one is not able to make it.
Okay.
And
I think that one is the person I'm having on next week. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
All right, so is it something that people could tune into if they wanted to watch it?
Yes, and I think they're going to record it and put it up on YouTube and then send the link, and so I'll have that on all my social media once we get it.
Great, great. All right, well,
hey, I just saw a great story from CNN that one of my supporters said, well, we have this broadband internet problem in our district.
We certainly do.
Some areas, it's non-existent. You can't get online, and right now, all the children are home, and they're supposed to be doing online learning. And they're saying that as many as half of the kids in Central Ohio can't get online or have difficulty getting online, especially if there's more than one device in the house.
I assume Jim Jordan's working hard on that, right?
Right. He won't do a damn thing there. There's no one closer to the president. All he has to do is ask, and there will be federal money brought here. So, but the city of Austin's schools has now sent out 100 school buses equipped with Wi-Fi and parked them in neighborhoods where kids don't have access.
Fantastic.
Which is it's such a simple thing, too. I love it. I hope some of our school districts start that, and at the very least, the state and the federal government should give them grants to do that.
The only thing it would cost
bus drivers aren't doing anything.
The only thing it would cost would be the bus driver and a little bit of gas, and you could, that's a great idea.
Right, assuming that the buses are already equipped with Wi-Fi, but, they might have to do that. But, it was a brilliant, and such a, when I first heard it, I was like, oh my God, that's such, So anyway, I thought that was very cool, and I have a 13-year-old daughter, and we have good Wi-Fi here.
She's smarter than you are. Is that right?
Yes,
your wife told me that, I think.
Well, it's funny. That's why I said I originally opposed homeschooling is because I wanted my kids to be smarter than me. I assume they will have good teachers who will teach them things I didn't learn.
Great.
But yeah, it's the divide between kids in good and poor school districts is already huge, and then on top of that, now that they're learning online, if my daughter gets easy access and somebody else it's spotty access or none, imagine how much that divide will be when they go back to school.
Now, you can correct me. I may be wrong on this, but my guess is that the more rural you are, the less likely you are to have good Wi-Fi, right?
Oh yeah, and it makes sense that a Verizon isn't going to run a line to a community that only has a dozen houses.
Sure.
It just doesn't make sense. Which is why there's a Rural Broadband Act that is through the Department of Agriculture that sends the lines up to the city limits, and then local businesses can install them in homes. But And I'm not exaggerating this. All it takes to get that is to have your member of Congress push for it. You know, Bob Latta, the conservative Republican right next door to us, is doing it for his district.
Yeah.
But Jim Jordan refuses to, and that's just political malpractice. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, not fighting to get our tax dollars back here so our kids can get an education.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a political malpractice. Good term.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you if anything has happened about the I'm not sure what to call it, the problem that Mr. Jordan is having with OSU and the former doctor
down there? Well,
or has that been hushed up?
Well, no. Well, you know what I think it was? Last I spoke to the wrestlers involved, they were waiting to go back to court for their suit against OSU, and I think that the court's pretty much been shut down because of the virus, so I imagine that is also on hold.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard anything lately, but it would make sense that you know, the courthouses are pretty much only open for, you know, real timely things that need
sure.
to be dealt with immediately.
Yeah. Well, now, do you suppose that they will keep that courthouse closed until after the election? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well,
voter suppression is one of my big pet peeves, and also the fact that people won't allow the government to move
progressively. Yeah, well, voter suppression, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, when they postponed this primary election,
yep.
I do not blame Governor DeWine. I think he did it out of an abundance of caution, and nobody wants poll workers to get sick
yep.
simply for you know, people showing up to vote. So I thought that was great. But then when Frank LaRose, the Secretary of State, instituted this mail-in system, instead of just sending everyone who hadn't yet voted a ballot, which would be very simple, and they would be instructed to either vote the Democratic side or the Republican side, you know.
Yeah, and they wouldn't even have to support the post office, because they hate the post office, because
well,
it would
right.
be all franked through the,
right. right.
through the government.
Yeah. So then, but instead, he did this three-step process where first you get a postcard yeah. telling you to go online, and then you download the request form, not even the ballot, send the request form in, then they send you a ballot, then you go, and it's clearly to discourage voting.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, and to be a part of a party that actively discourages voting, I mean, I don't know how a guy like DeWine, I know he's a conservative guy, but he's proven he's a decent guy.
Yeah, yes.
You know?
I still would have voted for Cordray, but...
Oh, of course, yeah, like I say, but politics aside, you know, there are leaders and there are those who aren't, and I think DeWine has proven that he's a leader and he's a you know, a decent person who just
yeah.
has very different political views than me, but that's fine.
And that's the way things should be.
Right.
You have different views, but accept the other person as having a legitimate view, yeah.
Especially if their underpinnings are about democracy and patriotism and, you know, like I've, you know, really disliked Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan. But unlike Donald Trump, I know both of those men loved their country.
Yeah.
Donald
were
Trump
decent human beings.
Right.
to
right.
Most point, yeah. I marched in Nixon's inaugural parade.
He told me that, yes. That's great.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so like right now what is going on with, you know, playing this political game with the World Health Organization in the middle of a global pandemic.
How in the world can anybody think that's right?
And even, I mean, Donald Trump is a sociopath, and he's completely driven by self-interest. We get that.
Yeah.
And I know people in that White House have probably bitten their tongue in half. They have to bite it so often.
Yeah.
But something like this, how are those few people that actually have his ear, like Jared and Ivanka, you know, they're as big a monster as he is, that they can't say, Dad, no. And the only reason he's doing it is because the head of it said something critical of him.
Yeah.
My wife once asked me. She said, "If you don't get voted in, will you go to work for somebody that is voted in?" And I said, "Well, if he's a Democrat, I would." But she said, "Well, what would keep you out of it?" I said, "Well, I'm the type of person, I'm old enough, I don't care whether you like me or not. I'm going to tell you what I think."
and that's it. Yeah. It's like...
It's easy.
You know, I've worked for a number of politicians and candidates, and it wasn't so much that I had to agree with every one of their positions, because I don't think that's possible.
No.
But I wanted them to be happy with me telling them my point of view.
Right.
And forcefully.
That's
and
why we have better government.
You still do their work. They're the ones that got elected. But, yes, and everyone I worked with, and they knew I was not shy about telling them when I thought they did something wrong, either in style or in substance.
And there's nothing wrong with having your boss angry at you, as long as your boss is an intelligent person and can listen.
When I worked for Congresswoman Speer, I screwed up.
That's who I was thinking of.
I knew she did not keep her opinions quiet either. You knew when she was upset with you, but it was always based on doing the job and moving the country forward. It was never some, you know, personality thing.
My guess is she doesn't suffer fools.
No, she is. It's only someone that once asked me if she was difficult to work with, and I said, the job is difficult when you work for her because her standards are so high.
That's right.
But as a human being, she couldn't be a more delightful, generous person. But it was difficult in the sense that the bar was much higher for her than it was for other congressional offices.
Well, when I was running for office, I knew that I had a pretty strong opinion. And I also knew that people would disagree with me. But people that disagree with you are probably helping you more than hurting you because they're giving you an idea that you probably haven't thought about.
Right, and I think for a candidate, at least for me, authenticity is the most important thing. I can't stand when I think someone's telling me what they think I want to hear.
Yep, and that happens a lot.
And you look at a guy like Sherrod Brown who he doesn't pull punches. He's, everywhere he goes, he's going to talk about Planned Parenthood, marriage equality, unions, whatever, and he knows it's going to piss off a segment of the crowd.
Yeah.
But so what? They leave there saying, even if they're not going to vote for him, they leave there saying, "Ah, that's a good man." Kind of like what I was saying about Mike DeWine. I'll never vote for the guy, but he seems like a good man.
Yeah. And our former governor was a pretty straight shooter that way, and he was a Republican.
Yeah.
But I always thought, and my wife and I had a lot of arguments about him, but. I always thought, well, he's trying to be fair and honest, and I think he was. But unfortunately, I think Ohio has had Republican governorships or government maybe about 40 years too long. So, but that's me.
Yes, well, and a big part of that is because of the absolute criminal gerrymandering that the Republican legislature does here that is worse than almost any other state. There are a few. Maryland's Democrats do it as badly.
Yeah.
But it's just, when the vote, the congressional vote in 2018 between Democrats and Republicans was almost 50-50. I think it was 52% for Republicans statewide. And yet they have 3/4 of the congressional seats, 12 to 4.
Yeah.
And how a judge cannot just look at that and say, okay, clearly that's not fair.
Well, I think they have. I mean, we've gotten legislation. I noticed that the legislation against gerrymandering, though, doesn't come to play until after the election.
Well, yes, after the next census.
Yeah.
But, and even then, we passed that initiative in 2018,
yeah.
I think early in 2018, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And it was a step forward. It still isn't good enough. It's
kind
still
of soft,
is going to be run by the legislature, and politicians should not be drawing their own district boundaries.
No.
Again, that's something that on the face of it, you would say, that's not fair. It'd be like letting a baseball team also call balls and strikes.
Yeah. And that is exactly what what is going on nationwide. Right. And now, I must admit, as a Democrat and a progressive, I must admit that those of us who are Democratic and progressive have been kind of stupid about how to run government. Along that line, we have not played the game that Rove played. We've tried to be honest, and apparently that's not the way you run the government anymore.
Yeah, I know. And I know you're being being sarcastic.
Yes, I am.
I don't think you would want us to be like Carl Rove.
I'm being as sarcastic as I can be. I'm sorry.
Yes, I know. Boy, Carl Rove is almost kind of quaint now, isn't he, compared to the Trump team?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Carl Rove was evil incarnate until Trump and Bannon and Stephen Miller and those people crawled out from under a rock.
Well, you got to admit that Bannon is getting done. What he wanted to do is to break up the,
the deep state?
Yes.
Or the...
Break up the... Yeah. Administration.
You know, they would talk about, like, the swamp, this criminal swamp in Washington, you know, these inside players. And yet, Trump has more lobbyists working for him than any president in history. He has more, you know, lifetime government people that were on the fringes working for him, you know. Mm-hmm. Then making it worse, then he leaves all of these career positions empty so that the political hacks have no pushback. Like we were talking about, a good boss wants an employee that, you know, raises their hand.
Yeah.
And I think with this pandemic is a perfect example that, you know, when you get rid of the pandemic response team because Obama has set it up, and, you know, these people, there's all these, you know, hundreds of positions at Centers for Disease Control that are empty. And because these idiots say, oh, it's government, we're saving money. And so, you know, how long has it been now? We still don't have enough tests.
My
daughter's a nurse practitioner in Missouri, and she said, you know, at first, when they didn't have tests, they said, well, we're ramping up. And now, weeks later, she's like, what happened to the ramping up? Why don't we have tests?
It's a very slow ramp.
Right.
Holy crap.
And you have, you know, political hacks who hate the government in charge.
Yeah.
You know, and just have no empathy. I mean, look at this $1,200 we were supposed to get, right?
We got ours today.
I'm not hurting.
We got ours today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I got $2,400 because we got ours put in the account. I'm sorry. Did I wreck your point?
No. No, I was just saying that it was taking so long to get out that they're the Steven Mnuchins of the world have never been desperate need of $1,200. But,
no.
You know, some of those minimum wage employees who were sent home 4 weeks ago.
Needed it then.
Yeah,
Steve Mnuchin, though, he is the picture of empathy. How anybody could think he would be good for our government, I don't know. But I've said that about just about everybody that's been placed in position, from our Supreme Court nominees that we've had all the way to the, you know, the bottom of the rung. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I got 5 more minutes for you. I promised I'd get you out of here by 12:50 so you can go do the other thing. Tell me what you want to tell me.
Well, I just think the most important thing is that people know that the election is still going on. And most importantly, if you haven't voted yet in the Democratic primary, you have to do it now.
Right.
April 28th isn't really an election day because the polls won't be open.
Right.
April 28th is just the deadline for them counting your vote. So if you haven't requested a ballot yet, you have to do it now. You call your local board of elections because it's the government, and they're not going to be on it. It's going to take a few days.
Don't you have to request a ballot by the 25th?
Request it by the boy. That would really be pushing it.
Yeah, and you have to have it postmarked by the 28th.
No, postmarked by the 27th.
Oh,
you are allowed
night
to drop
before.
It off at your Board of Elections on the
27th. Oh, okay, I got you.
But the 27th, actually postmarked by the 27th. And this is another thing, you know, not every piece of mail gets a postmark. And now I know most stamped mail does, but this is a government return address situation.
Right.
So I would not be surprised if they got, you know, 1,000 ballots in on the 29th or 30th and threw them away because there was no postmark on them. So I would
do it now.
In a race like ours, there are two competitive primaries happening in our area, one for the Democrats and one for the Republicans. But our congressional race, where we have three Democrats, none of whom are household names,
right.
It's going to come down to a few votes, most likely a recount as they go through what these absentee ballots are coming in.
Right.
And then on the Republican side, the state Senate race is like that. So
that's an ugly race.
Yeah, it really is. But people in Marion don't need to go back very far to see how important one vote is. You know, Kai Mead,
yes. in the last election.
By one vote.
Yes.
So, yeah, if anyone understands, it's voters in Marion.
Kai's a friend of mine, and he was not very comfortable until that last day when they told him he won by one.
Well, and he said, you know, even on election night, he was still out knocking on doors up until, you know, the polls were closing and people were saying, you know, go relax. And, you know, it just shows you what, and now take that and put that as an overlay on what we're going through. We're not even allowed to leave the house.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
You know, thank God we're doing, you know, we have these social media platforms now and, you know, for radio and guys like you, which is great. We get our message out. But, I think it's going to really be a nail biter for us.
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right, Mike. And it's kind of interesting. You go out and I think I've put up six of your signs, I think, and those are the only six signs I've seen in town. So.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, it's funny because I drive around. In fact, I have my last few signs that I just put in the back seat of my truck. I think I'm going to go out this afternoon and get them out. They don't do me any good sitting in my living room.
That's true. Yeah.
But I've been getting calls from people that said, I was in Urbana and saw a bunch of signs.
Good.
I have really benefited from having worked so hard 2 years ago for Janet Garrett against Jim Jordan. So I got to know all the local party activists, especially the older folks who've been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
And so they were great, especially in a time like this, because we were able to get them signs, you know, last month. And they've been doing what they do. They know their people. So that was, I'm very fortunate. I'm very grateful. And it's going to be difficult on election night, win or lose, to not be able to thank everyone in person.
Yeah.
You know? But eventually, when we're allowed to go outside, and although I think it's going to be a while till we can go out and, you know, be near, especially people with compromised health.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing I have to mention.
Okay, yeah, because we're almost done here.
I know. I got a very nice phone call today from our friend Mary Ellen Withrow, who you introduced me to. You know, Mary Ellen did a little recording for us that was sent to older voters reminding them about the election.
She endorsed you, too.
She called. She did endorse me, and she's. I hear from other people. I ran into a woman in Lorain who worked for governor candidate Cordray.
Yeah.
And she said that, I guess Mary Ellen's been telling everybody about you. So I was like, oh, well, that's great. But she called to make sure it worked out okay, and she said she feels bad that she can't do more. And I said, well,
none of us can.
That's how all of us are. So I told her, I said, well, maybe someday soon I'll come and stand outside your window and yell thank you. You know? But, that's been great. And I appreciate you introducing me to her.
No, no problem at all. And I've been trying to share everything that you send our way on Facebook.
One more plug. Yep. Our website is ohiomike2020.com. And then if you go to our Facebook page, which is just Larson for Congress, you can watch our Facebook Live show that we do every night, tonight I have a great interview with a guy named Barry Blaustein, who's a writer and director. He has a documentary on Netflix right now that's really popular.
Cool.
And so it's a fun interview.
All right, you better get to your other thing.
Yeah,
but I appreciate you coming on, and good luck in 2 weeks, I guess, 3 weeks.
Yeah. little 13 days, I think.
So. Okay. All right.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Bye-bye. Mike Larson, thank you very much. Mike, I got to shut him off here. Mike and I have been friends since I ran for office, and he helped me out a lot, gave me all sorts of clues on what to do. Obviously, he was better at telling me what to do than I was in getting it done, because I didn't win. But I feel sorry for our district that I didn't win. I still don't like a lot of the things that are being done in the name of good government in the state of Ohio. But then you know that. And it's okay if you disagree with me. That's one of the things that America is all about. And that's where America is not about saying the Pledge of Allegiance and stuff like that. America is doing the right thing by your fellow man, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whatever else you might be. Being good and kind to your fellow man, the person standing, or the fellow woman, the person standing next to you is also an American. They also had a mother and that cared for him. And we all need to find a way to start caring for people. I get beat up occasionally on my Facebook thing, and that's fine. And I put a note on Facebook three days ago that I enjoy reading the stuff from the people that think, you know, they give me all their anti-Glenn stuff, and that's fine. I have learned a lot from listening to those people. I wish I were young enough to run again so that I could put some of that sort of education into a good cause, into a position that I had where I could help people. That's why I got involved. And one of the nice things about an older person running for office, believe it or not, this is the honest to goodness truth. I had gotten to the point where I didn't really care if people hated me or liked me. I was going to tell the truth no matter what. If somebody came up and asked me, some guy came up and asked me, what do you think about abortion? I would tell him what I believe about abortion. And I'm not going to get into that because I'm not running for office now. But Mike is kind of that way. Mike is old enough now that he doesn't seem to be afraid to tell what he honestly believes. And he isn't afraid, and I wasn't afraid, of you voting against us, because that's what America's all about. Now, if we're wrong, we're wrong. The one problem with the gerrymandering stuff that we have had going on is that it is no longer one person, one vote. It depends on where you've been gerrymandered into. If you've been gerrymandered into a Republican district, that's how it's going to be. And vice versa is true. I think we should have, your vote should count. And right now, your vote does not count, especially if you happen to be a Democrat or a progressive. And I'm not crying. It will change. And when it changes, unfortunately, when it changes, there are some not so kind people on the Democratic side of the aisle, and I will vote against them as well, because I don't believe you should. I think a lot of us older folks aren't nearly driven by by our egos. Now, our present president, I'm going to leave him out of this. I think ego runs his life. But I think a lot of us who know where we truly stand aren't afraid to tell people where we truly stand. And that's the way I feel. And I believe
that if a politician wants to be a good politician, they have to say where they stand. Now, I must admit, when I ran for trustee here in this town, I kind of leaned with the wind, and I didn't lie to anybody. But I kind of leaned with the wind. I would try to avoid answering questions that were uncomfortable. I didn't do that when I ran for state representative, and probably didn't help me any. But at least if I had gotten elected, you would have known where I stood. And quite frankly, the person that did get that office, you know where she stands. She's told a lot of people where she stands. Whether you agree with it or not, that's up to you. And apparently, most of our people, or at least the gerrymandered section of our people, believe that she had the right idea, and that's what politics is about. Let's vote for the people that we agree with, and get rid of the ones that we don't. Oh well, I hope you all are well to take care of your health. We need you to stay away from other people. Not because you're mad at them. The reason why you stay away is so you don't make them sick, or they don't make you sick. Now, I wear a mask, and I've had people make fun of me for wearing a mask. I do it for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to make other people sick that are near me. And number two, if I didn't, my wife would kill me. She doesn't want to be in a house with an old guy who's got a bad disease, right? And I understand that. I hope that you are keeping your distance. I hope that you're wearing your mask. I haven't gotten to the point where I wear gloves, but I certainly have a bottle of disinfectant in my bag so that when I touch anything other than my own self or my own clothes or something like that, I do use the disinfectant quite frequently. I hope it doesn't wreck my hands. So far, so good. I also carry a bottle of disinfectant spray, and I spray just about everything. As if you listened earlier, Scott was complaining about me spraying him. Now, I didn't spray it right on him. I sprayed it on the chair he was on. I sprayed it on the microphone. I sprayed it on the control board. I sprayed it on the phones. I sprayed it on the seat that I was sitting on and the microphones. None of which should hurt anybody, except for, boy, it does smell in here. It smells a lot like Lysol. Now, Lysol, you can send a check to Glenn Coble. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you stay perfectly healthy, and I hope that everything that we want to do as a country together comes our way, all right? And be good to your neighbor, be good to your friends, and especially be good to those that you don't like, all right? Glenn Coble, A Progressive Life. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, the talking